Welcome to Rock the Midlife Show, a podcast that brings you fun and interesting conversations to inspire, motivate, and encourage women on their journey through midlife. I am Alinka Tercic, your host. I help women at midlife to rediscover themselves and their vision and thrive through the transition into their next stage. Enjoy. Hey. Today, I have the pleasure talking with James Arthur Ray. He's a leadership and performance advisor, and he's an author of seven books, including Harmonic Wealth, The Secret of Attracting the Life You Want, and co-author and contributor to The Secret. And his newest book is The Business of Redemption, The Price of Leadership in Life in Business. Hey, James.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
So your latest book is about the redemption, and it is obviously, you know, taking your own advice in your life, how to get your power back, how to get your life back. Can you share your story real quick for those who don't know it?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, and I'll do my best to abbreviate it. I went through a myriad of jobs. I've always been kind of an industrious individual. I wanted to contribute and provide value. And so I got my first job when I was 6 years old. And it's, I wanted to, again, do something in the world, even at that early age. And I've worked almost every day since. And it's really interesting, Alinka, because, you know, when I look at most young children today, the most they work is with their thumbs on their little iPhone or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
And so or playing video games, and it just wasn't like that for me. I went through a myriad of different things and ended up, you know, my first major career out of college was with AT&T, and I was in a sales position. I did really well there. And then they promoted me to sales management and or sales training first, and then sales management. And then I ultimately ended up at AT&T School of Business as a C-suite consultant, working with, you know, CEOs, presidents, executives on things like leadership, team performance, communication, you know, all of those types of issues. And while I was doing all those traditional business things, I also had a real attraction to spirituality. So my father was a Protestant minister, and I just wasn't getting the answers in my early years that I was asking the questions to. So I picked up, you know, the Buddhist Bible in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the heart of the Bible Belt, which is really kind of tells you how unique I was, strange I was. And I started studying world religions, but as I continued through my business career, I ended up studying not only just Buddhism, but all the major religions. And I got into philosophy and psychology and even quantum physics. And my traditional education was in behavioral sciences and psychology. And I really, you know, I was this introverted, shy young man, and I was wanting to find the answers. I thought if I could find the answers, that I could change my own life, and that was my prime motivation. And so in 92, I left AT&T School of Business, and I started my own business consulting company and really struggled for years and years. And, you know, if your listeners have had their own business, they know that entrepreneurship is a lonely road. We tend to romanticize it in today's world and say, oh, I want to be my own business, have my own business. I want to work from home. I want to do all these things. But the fact is that most people just don't make it because it's not that romantic. It's really tough and it's lonely. And so I was living hand to mouth for the better part of two decades, and pretty much on vision sandwiches and faith cookies, if you will. And then, you know, in 2005-ish, I was invited to be a contributor to the book, which became a landslide and the movie called The Secret. And I was a co-author of the book and I was in the film, and that just blew my entire career into a worldwide arena. And that was a blessing and a curse, because I had come up in business and I was, you know, really an entrepreneur and a business person. And yet I got niched into this real romantic, if you will, kind of spiritual niche that said that was so misinterpreted that if I just visualize things, they're going to happen in my life. And, you know, even though it blew me into this new arena, it really was such a small piece of who I am and what I was teaching. But I'm grateful for that. And then, you know, I went on and continued to climb from there. I was on, you know, it was like the American dream. And if, even if you're not in America, you've heard of this thing. And it was like all these years, my hard work and my diligence and my commitment has come to fruition. I was on Oprah several times, Larry King several times. I was on the Today Show once a month, almost every single month for multiple months running. I had a New York Times bestseller hit the top of the New York Times in the first 5 days of its release. And that's the book you called Harmonic, that you mentioned, Harmonic Wealth. I was in huge demand. I had over a million people from 145 different countries around the world coming to my live events. And I just, you know, it boggled my mind. And I really thought I kind of arrived. Well, in 2009, March of 2009, my then money manager told me in our quarterly financial meeting that I could retire, you know, and be comfortable for the rest of my days. And I didn't want to retire because I love what I do, but it sure felt good to know that I could. Well, little did either one of us know that just 8 months into the future, very same year, October 2009, my team, my company, and I were conducting a deep dive retreat in Sedona, Arizona, and we were diving deeply into the drivers of your success or failure. Now, regardless of what you've been told or taught, the things that drive your success and failure are not outside of you. It's not the government, it's not the economy, it's not the COVID craziness, you know, it's not the shutdown, it's none of those things. Of course, those have an influence, but that doesn't drive your success or failure. It's not the loss of jobs, it's not the ex, it's not the divorce. It's none of those things. The things that really drive your success and failure are not outside of you, Alenka. They're inside of you. And so in this 5 day, we were diving deeply into the participants' unresolved emotional issues. Now, and traumas, either micro trauma or macro trauma in some cases. Now, psychology tells us that 95% of what we do every single day is driven by your unconscious. Now, the rub about that is that you can't deal with something you're unconscious of, right? Yeah. So continuously people are going, you know I need to do something different. Why am I not doing it? Or why am I doing what I'm doing? I know better than this. And the fact is they don't know. But the reality is I know. And now you're going to know it's unconscious, unresolved emotional issues, 95% of what we do every single day. And so what we were doing in that 5 day is we were diving deep and we were uncovering and making the unconscious conscious. Excuse me. I'm sorry. And that's very powerful, because when you make it conscious, then you can understand it, you can heal it, you can release it and set yourself free. And so it was very emotional work, Alenka, as you might imagine. I mean,
that's deep.
It's deep. And it was deep. And it was a small event, but relatively, you know, compared to the events I was doing at the time, we had like 52 people. And, you know, we worked long and hard together. we dove deep together. We cried together. We laughed together. We hugged, you know, the whole thing. And so those clients very quickly became friends because, frankly, I knew more about their deepest, darkest issues than some of their nearest and dearest friends and loved ones. And, you know, then I take these now friends, and on the fifth day, we had an experiential learning activity. And we'd done this event for years and years and years, and it was always hugely successful. And it's called, on this fifth day, as kind of a graduation exercise to all the hard work that we'd done for 5 days, we had an experiential learning activity called a sweat lodge. And it was an opportunity for all the participants to take all the hard work they'd done psychologically and emotionally and spiritually and bring it into our bodies and go into an environment that was challenging and difficult, and to prove to ourselves that when we went back into our daily lives, we were going to do difficult things. Because, you know, change is hard, Alenka. It's not, you know, anyone who tells you you can do it in three easy steps is either not, you know, not telling you the truth, or they're just totally unaware. You just can't. It's hard work. And that's why most people don't change. And so we had this activity and we've done it for years, but in 2009, something went horrifically wrong. And, you know, this is all recounted in my book, The Business of Redemption. So I won't belabor, but three of my clients, now turned friends, lost their lives that day in October of 2009. And that broke my heart. You know, if you've ever lost someone, Alenka, that you love and care about, then you know how that feels. And it, you know, it almost felt like more than I could shoulder on many days. And yet, it didn't end there. That would have been more than enough. You know, it happened on my watch. And here's the thing, and this is really important, is that we don't know to this day actually what the cause was, because the doctor from Harvard who went through 4,000 pages of medical evidence said it was toxins that got into the participants' bodies, most specifically organophosphates, pesticides. And if you do a brief Google search on pesticides, you know that even a small amount is toxic in the human system. But we don't know, because the Arizona detectives and police who showed up in droves didn't take any blood tests. They didn't follow up on any of the forensic evidence. They just decided that it was too hot and that was my fault. And I want to really make this point, and again, I make it very clearly in the book. I accept full responsibility because it was my event, it was my team, it was my choice to do what we now know to be a dangerous exercise. And as the leader, you know, that's the price of leadership. I accept full responsibility. Now, did I do it intentionally? No. And I'll get back to that in just a moment. Of course I didn't. I mean, there's no business person in the world who's going to harm his clients and think that he's going to stay in business. And yet, it with this broken heart and this huge responsibility, I'd invested my entire life wanting to help people and help them empower themselves. Now they've been hurt, and it was the antithesis of anything I'd ever lived for. Well, it didn't end there, though, because the state of Arizona decided to charge me with a crime, manslaughter, which is intentional harm, which I personally think is absolutely ridiculous, given what I've already shared about being a business person. And so I was indicted, and the minute I was indicted, my American dream fell apart like shards of broken glass. I mean, I lost my Inc. 500 company. I had been inducted in the Inc. 500 with one of the fastest growing most successful privately held businesses. And I lost my home, my dream home that I worked 20 years to finally, you know, achieve. I lost my life savings. I lost my friends, so-called friends and colleagues disappeared. And that hurt, but what hurt even more was some of them went out into the media and really began to say nasty things, even though they weren't there. They took advantage to get their 15 minutes of airtime. The media that once loved me now absolutely crucified me, and it was worldwide. And I lost, frankly, my self-confidence, and I lost my liberty because I was indicted and I was prosecuted and I was convicted not of manslaughter. The jury said, you know, after a 4-month trial, the jury said, no, we cannot find one shred of evidence that there was any intentional harm here, but there was a lesser included of negligence. And that's what I got convicted of, negligence. And I own that. I mean, negligence means I missed some things. God, I wish I hadn't of, you know, some things could have been done better. And maybe we could have been better prepared. And we just didn't know. And so I then lost my liberty and I went to prison and I went from Beverly Hills and this media rock star to prison, literally in one fell swoop. And I was in prison for 2 years and I came out in 2013, just 7 years ago. And I was standing in the middle of the barren Arizona desert and I was 54 years of age, which isn't ancient, but it's certainly not on the front end of life. I was in horrible physical condition. I'd lost 40 pounds that I didn't need to lose. I had periodontal disease. My mouth was all messed up from the horrific situation and environment I'd been in. I was homeless, literally homeless, 7 years ago. I was alone, and I was $20 million in debt. Now, if you as a listener today are broke, my heart goes out to you because I get that. I understand that. I will never minimize that. But let me just suggest to you that broke looked good to me, Alenka, from where I sat. I mean, $20 million in debt. Broke was $20 million over my head just to be broke. And I didn't know which way to turn or what I was going to do. Well, fast forward, now here we are in 2020, and I was alone then. I'm now newly married to the most amazing woman on the planet that I didn't even know in 2013. You know, we're the best friends and we have the same values, and it's just magic. And it's not like just because we're newlyweds, but it's because we've been in a relationship for about 5 years now. So it's not a new relationship. It's a very seasoned relationship that was built through the storm. And we have a comfortable little place in Henderson, Nevada. It's not a 7,500 square foot estate in Beverly Hills, but I don't need that anymore. I don't even want it. You know, I'm grateful to have experienced it, but I don't need that, you know, and I'm here doing what I love and talking to you. And so, you know, redemption is possible. And it's, you know, I think we need to really be able to define the word redemption. And the way it's properly defined is to gain or regain something by paying the price. And the fact is, Alenka, there's always a price for the prize. And that's the price. And the bigger the prize you're going after, the bigger the price you have to pay. And yet I find consistently that so many people are not willing to pay the price. They want their redemption in their life, in their business, in their relationship, in their health, but they're not willing to pay the price. They get sucked into blame and good stories, i.e. excuses, and all the reasons why life is unfair. And guess what? They're right. Life is unfair. It's not supposed to be fair, but complaining about it is going to change it. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? Or what are you going to do with it? You see, I think, Alenka, I mean, so many people are in this situation right now with the COVID craziness and loss of jobs and voluntary lockdown and all this that's going on. And they're looking for some leader or some savior outside themselves. You know, some are wanting government to fix it. Some are wanting a vaccine to fix it. Some are wanting, you know, the job market to fix it. And with all love and compassion, I will say the only one who's going to fix it is you. And you got to be willing to pay the price to make that happen. So I know I haven't been too brief. I did my best. It's kind of a long journey. And so I'll give it back to you.
No, I love hearing the story. I know it really is how you overcame this. And for me, it was like really, like you said, losing everything, you know, being on the top of the world to the deepest hole. And we are here complaining about the weather or, you know, sometimes about these trivial things that are really not important in life. And my question for you would be, how did you get back up? You know, how did you get that strength, that determination, that power, that whatever it was, faith, hope, to really, you know, start start really going, not staying in that deep hole?
Well, it's a deep question, and there are many, many steps to get there. And so, you know, I think the first and most important step is what I call self-awareness. And when I, you know, about 98% of the people I deal with are entrepreneurs. And when I tell them that self-awareness is the primary objective for an entrepreneur, and I also believe it's the primary objective for all of us, because, yes, you know, we're basically here for three reasons. We're here to clean up, grow up, and wake up. And it has to happen in that order. You know, again, 95% of what we do is driven by unconscious, unresolved emotional issues. Now, to add to that, positive psychology tells us about 70% of what we've been conditioned and programmed with is disempowering. Yeah. 70%. And so self-awareness is very, very limited, often non-existent. I mean, true self-awareness. And you know, people invariably say to me, well, James, I know who I am. Do you really? Because when I ask you who you are, the answers I get all the time is, well, I'm a man, I'm a woman. Yeah. That's not the who roles. You are.
The roles, you know, that you play.
I'm a mom, I'm a dad, I'm an accountant, I'm a lawyer. That's not who you are. Those are things you have and do. You're so much more than that. And yet we've been also programmed, and here's a big one for the current virus that's going around, because here's what I'm going to tell you, is that the greatest virus is not COVID. The greatest virus is the mental virus that is spread across this planet in a nanosecond, and it's rooted in fear. Why? Because of lack of self-awareness. In what way? We believe we're a physical body. You know, we believe we are our things. And we're not. You know, you're not a physical body. You are infinite potential and possibility, having a single-pointed experience in this infinite field. And I'm not going to take the time to get into quantum physics, because I've studied it for two decades, you know, but quantum physics backs us up. We live in this infinite field of possibility and potentiality. It's called quantum superposition, where everything exists simultaneously. And what I am is a single pointed experience in that infinite field of possibility called James Arthur Ray. But I'm not James Arthur Ray, not really. That's an experience. That's something I'm experiencing. That's not who I am. You're having an experience called Alenka Terzic. Yeah, forgive me. I did my best.
No, yeah. I understand it's difficult to pronounce.
Yeah, being Alenka, but that's not who you are. That's just a label that someone gave you when you were birthed into this body, into this world. And so we've got to start peeling the onion back, and that's what I had to do. And that's very difficult, Alenka, because, you know, we can change a habit, but to escape our conditioning is sometimes next to impossible, particularly the more years we've lived on this earth. And so I had to stand there in that desert and say, okay, you know, the media is calling me all kinds of names and attacking me in all kinds of ways and saying I'm this, that, or the other. You know, I am totally broke, worse than broke. I have no home. You know, my body is in shambles. I have no one reaching out to help me. And yet, who am I? Am I those things? Or am I something more than that? And I'm not, you know, I'd love to tell you that it just magically clicked for me. It didn't, you know. I'm human, just like you are. It's a process. It's a journey. And one of the steps in self-awareness is forgiveness. I mean, I had to, first of all, you know, Alenka, I have to carry the responsibility for the rest of my life that three people died on my watch. Three people I cared about. I mean, that's a big price to pay, because I'm going to carry it for the rest of my days. And that's a big one. And I had to come to a point of forgiveness where I forgave myself. You know, James, did you do it on purpose? No. James, could you have done things better? Yes. James, could you, you know, did you not do things better intentionally? No. I mean, I had to go through this whole thing where I had to forgive myself for this horrific situation that occurred. And this is applicable to your listener today, because I can't tell you, Alenka, how many people are so lacking in self-awareness and it's their ex's fault. You know, they're in this mess because their ex screwed them over and didn't treat them right. Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, you know, you knew your ex when you married him or her. And if you didn't, whose responsibility is that? Why didn't you? You know, and I'm not being insensitive. I'm not, you know, as a good coach, my job is not to make anyone feel better. It's to make them be better. Because I know if you can become better, you'll automatically feel better. If that makes sense to you.
Yes. Totally. This is what I'm also teaching my clients. You know, you have to forgive yourself. You can turn the time back, but you have to also accept your part in the situation and your part, whatever happened. It's not all, you know, it's, you are there. You are always in this mess, yeah. Whatever it was.
You're so correct. I mean, there are no victims in life. I'm sorry. There's just not. You know, and I could get into esoteric philosophy around that, and I'll just keep it real grounded and practical. But the fact is, there are signs, and there are signals, and there are issues. And if you don't pay attention to them, whose responsibility is that? It's not, you know, people show themselves and situations show themselves pretty quickly. And so in the business of redemption, I talk about this concept that I call absolute responsibility. And this was taught to me by, I've had some real great mentors and teachers and coaches, six major mentors. And one of the you know, I've studied so many different things at Link. I've studied, you know, again, psychology and philosophy and spirituality and business. And one of the things that I was blessed to be exposed to was the Huna tradition out of the South Pacific, which is an ancient spiritual tradition. And my teacher told me that I had to accept absolute responsibility for every single thing in my world. And he said, you've got to do it to the level of ridiculous. I said, what do you mean? And so if he were here today, which he's not, but he would say, then to the level of ridiculous, I have to say it was my responsibility that my ex screwed me over. It was my responsibility that the COVID craziness has gone rampant in the world. And someone goes, whoa, you know, it's my responsibility that government and politicians are not acting in people's best interest. And people go, whoa, wait a second, James. Now, you know, do you really believe that's true? Well, I don't know if it's true or not. But what I do know, Alenka, is that when we take absolute responsibility to the level of the ridiculous, then it empowers us to say, okay, I created this. How did I create it? And more importantly, what am I going to do with it? And how can I transform it?
Yeah.
To the degree we stay in blame and whining and victim, we're powerless. And you know, there are powers in this universe who love that, in this world that love that. You know, people in fear are easy to control.
Of course.
People in fear give their power away and they're looking for a savior. Well, you know, when you take absolute responsibility, you forgive yourself of missing some things like I did, you know, okay, I could have done a better job. I'm going to have to forgive myself. I didn't do it on purpose, but I was human and I missed some things. And God, I wish I hadn't have, you know, but I did. So am I going to wallow in that for the rest of my life, or am I going to forgive myself and use it to become better, more awake, more compassionate, you know, more empowered? And I choose the latter.
I love this, because like you said, we are all co-creating, not that we are causing it or we are doing something, but we are co-creating. Every one of us is a piece of the puzzle here on the world. And you know, like you said, the government, I don't tell them what they do, but I am the one voting for them or voting against them or whatever.
Or not voting, you know, you have
or not voting, exactly. But it is something that I am co-creating this situation,
right?
By doing or not doing something,
we're contributing to it. And
exactly. And this is where people need to understand their role. And like you said, it's hard to see yourself as someone who's, you know, co-responsible for this. So,
right.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm a good person. But
well, you are a good person.
Brutally honest with yourself is, I think, it's so much missing these days.
Well, you are a good person. I think everyone ultimately is a good person. They just choose bad strategies.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, even the most heinous of a criminal, if you look at why they do what they do, and I'll just give this example. You know, when I was in prison, I spent 2 years with gang members and I was living with them 24/7 and with skinheads and Aryan Brotherhood members, and these were not loving, happy guys. They're angry. And yet when you really get beyond the behavior and you look at why they do what they do, what you'll find is that we're all pretty similar. We just choose different behaviors. So in other words, you know, why is it they go in and rob a convenience store and maybe kill someone? Well, in their upbringing, that gives them street cred. That gives them respect. That gives them some degree of positionality in their environment. Now, do I agree with that? Absolutely. But you see, understanding does not equal agreement. Understanding and agreement are two different things. I totally disagree with that. It's not functional. But what I understand is that they want respect, they want love, they want to be significant. Well, I want those things too. We all do. Now, I choose different methodologies and approaches, maybe because I've been given different resources and have grown up in different ways than they have. And maybe if they had different resources and grew up in a different environment, they would choose different strategies too, but they didn't. And so, you know, what that allows us to do, again, is back to that forgiving thing, is to forgive, to understand, to have compassion, not agreement. And that's it. We need to differentiate there. Yeah. I'm not suggesting that you agree with something that is criminal or brutal or harms another person. What I'm saying is you understand that the motive, the driver behind it, is very similar between you and me and all of us. It's just that we choose different ways to get the outcome.
Yeah. You, I mean, I completely agree. I had an interview in my previous podcast with someone who was sentenced to, not to death, but for many, many years for killing few people because mm-hmm. they were robbing as a gang. And he told me, he said, I just wanted to be accepted. And this is the people that accepted me. So I was doing everything that I could to, you know, to be accepted by them because no one else accepted me. He was, you know, foster child going through the system and everything, and everywhere he was rejected. So yeah, I mean, you are right. We want the same thing, but we just don't have the means or the knowledge or the
resources,
the understanding, you know, of, you know, how to achieve right. that.
Right. But I think the big shift for me, and there, and as I said, this is a deep topic and we could talk for days on it. I know we don't have that much time. But the big shifts, and for your listener today, is self-awareness and to break, and that's very deep too. There's many, many, yeah. many components of self-awareness. But to begin to understand, to start your self-awareness journey by saying, look, you've been conditioned since the time you came out of your mother's womb in a certain way of thinking. Things are right, wrong, good, bad, you're capable, you're not capable. All these things have been conditioned into. And when you're really, really honest with yourself, what you recognize, fast forward to today, and maybe you're, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 or older, it doesn't matter. Every single thing you think is true, every single thing you believe, every single thing you think is valuable is, you know, 99% certain it's because someone told you it was. And they were told by someone who told them, and by someone who told them, and by someone who told them. And this goes all the way back to God knows when. And most of us just bite off hook, line, and sinker the conditioning that we're spoon-fed. And we never, ever stop, and certainly our dysfunctional school system doesn't tell us to think for ourselves. It wants to turn us into automatons. Read, remember, repeat.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, people who are unique and think for themselves in school flunk.
Yeah, usually.
They don't get good grades, you know, or they're called ADD, you know, or whatever. They get a new label. Well, you know, we're not encouraged to do that. We're encouraged to read, remember, repeat. We're encouraged by the media that we've got all the answers and we're telling you the truth, even though they're not telling us any of the truth. I'm sorry. And they're telling us what they want us to think is true. And so self-awareness is to begin to wake up now. And the first step is to say, okay, I'm really going to think for myself. I'm going to question everything. I'm going to do my own research. I'm going to recognize who I really am. Because here's the bottom line, Alenka. Your true wealth is not what you have. Your true wealth is what you're left with when all you have is gone.
Wow.
That's your wealth. What are you left with when everything you have had is gone? Well, most people are not left with much because they've object identified, they've relationship identified, they've position identified, they've economically identified, and the list is endless. When all those things are gone, you know, some people literally, and it breaks my heart, take their own lives because they think life is over. Well, maybe life's just beginning.
Yeah.
You know, we're sitting on the precipice right now, my opinion, take it or leave it, on the precipice of the greatest awakening that the world has ever seen. Not just one country, not just one culture, not one ethnicity or one race or one spiritual belief. You know, all those things are divisive. And I'm talking about the world, humanity. Yep. We're sitting on the precipice of one of the greatest spiritual awakenings, one of the greatest opportunities that we've ever experienced in our lifetime. And it's up to us to seize it, because if we've learned so many things potentially through crisis. You want to know who you are? Really? Put yourself in a good crisis.
We have a crisis. And I'm, you know, I love to finish it with this, because I always say, okay, midlife crisis, you know, as we call it, is actually a great opportunity, great awakening, that yes. We can really, really understand who we are and what we are here for and how to do life differently in the second half.
You're so absolutely correct, but it's not guaranteed.
Of course.
We have to be courageous enough and open enough to seize that opportunity. And most people aren't. You know, most people come out of a marriage, or they come out of a job, or whatever they do in, quote, midlife awakening, crisis. You know, the Chinese word for crisis means both danger and opportunity.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah.
And so most people come into this crisis and they do their best to dive right back into another marriage, to another job, even though they hated the job they had. They don't see the gift that they've been given. And out of fear, they dive right back in and they do the same thing over again. And they wonder why their life never changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is a great, great finishing, you know, like take crisis and make an opportunity out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And I thank you so much for sharing your story, for sharing all this wisdom that you have. And I'm definitely looking forward to reading your book, The Business of Redemption. And learn more about, you know, your views and your point of views are really similar to mine. I can't wait to dive in.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, it's been an honor and a privilege. I appreciate, you know, what you're doing, and I appreciate you thought of me. And, you know, I would just encourage you to keep doing great work, Alenka, because the world needs it.
Thank you so much. And if anyone wants to learn more about James Arthur Ray, go to his website, www.jamesray.com.
That's correct.
Thank you again for being my guest. Thank you for everyone that's listening, and talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thanks for joining us on Rock the Midlife Show. If you find value, you can visit our website, rockthemidlife.com. where you can listen to previous episodes and subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and other platforms so you never miss an episode. I would very much appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about it. You might also want to check out our Facebook community, The Midlife Sorority. I hope we meet again next week for our new episode. Bye!